Welcome to Dead White Guys. I'm your host, Jason Rennie. Thanks for catching this podcast. Dead White Guys aims to provide a weekly reading from a Christian author who has long since been called home, and provide an easy way for Christians of today to connect with those that have gone before them. Today's podcast is the first part of a reading of the Confessions of St. Patrick. It's the story of St. Patrick in his early years, his conversion, and his mission to Ireland. St. Patrick lived from 390 to 461 AD. The text is provided courtesy of the Christian Classics Ethereal Library, and without further ado, here is this week's reading. The Confessions of St. Patrick, Part 1. I, Patrick, a sinner, a most simple countryman, the least of all the faithful and most contemptible to many, had for father the deacon Calpurnius, son of the late Potius, a priest of the settlement of Banavem Tibernae. He had a small villa nearby, where I was taken captive. I was at that time about 16 years of age. I did not, indeed, know the true God. And I was taken into captivity in Ireland with many thousands of people. According to our deserts, for quite drawn away from God, we did not keep his precepts. Nor were we obedient to our priests who used to remind us of our salvation. And the Lord brought down on us the fury of his being, and scattered us among many nations, even to the ends of the earth, where I, in my smallness, am now to be found among foreigners. And there the Lord opened my mind to an awareness of my unbelief, in order that, even so late, I might remember my transgressions and turn with all my heart to the Lord my God, who had regard for my insignificance and pitied my youth and ignorance. And he watched over me before I knew him, and before I learned sense or even distinguished between good and evil, and he protected me and consoled me as a father would his son. Therefore, indeed, I cannot keep silent, nor would it be proper, so many favours and graces has the Lord deigned to bestow on me in the land of my captivity. For after chastisement from God, and recognizing him, our way to repay him is to exalt him and confess his wonders before every nation under heaven. For there is no other God, nor ever was before, nor shall be hereafter, but God the Father, unbegotten and without beginning, in whom all things began, whose are all things, as we have been taught, and his Son, Jesus Christ, who manifestly always existed with the Father, before the beginning of time, in the Spirit with the Father, indescribably begotten before all things, and all things visible and invisible were made by him. He was made man, conquered death, and was received into heaven, to the Father, who gave him all power over every name in heaven and on earth and in hell, so that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, in whom we believe. And we look to his imminent coming again, the judge of the living and the dead, who will render to each according to his deeds. And he poured out his Holy Spirit on us in abundance, the gift and pledge of immortality, which makes the believers and the obedient into sons of God and co-heirs of Christ, who is revealed. And we worship one God in the Trinity of the Holy Name. He himself said through the prophet, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." And again, "It is right to reveal and publish abroad the works of God. I am imperfect in many things. Nevertheless, I want my brethren and kinsfolk to know my nature, so that they may be able to perceive my soul's desire. I am not ignorant of what is said of my Lord in the psalm, 'You destroy those who speak a lie,' and again, 'A lying mouth deals death to the soul.' And likewise, the Lord says in the Gospel, 'On the day of judgment men shall render account for every idle word they utter.' So it is that I should mightily fear, with terror and trembling, this judgment, on the day when no one shall be able to steal away or hide, but each and all shall render account for even our smallest sins before the judgment seat of Christ the Lord. And therefore, for some time, I have thought of writing, but I have hesitated until now, for truly, I feared to expose myself to the criticism of men, because I have not studied like others who have assimilated both law and the Holy Scriptures equally, and have never changed their idiom since their infancy, but instead were always learning it increasingly to perfection, while my idiom and language have been translated into a foreign tongue. So it's easy to prove from a sample of my writing, my ability in rhetoric, and the extent of my preparation and knowledge, for as it is said, 'Wisdom shall be recognized in speech, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in the learning of truth.' But why make excuses close to the truth, especially when now I am presuming to try to grasp in my old age what I did not gain in my youth, because my sins prevented me from making what I had read my own? But who will believe me, even though I should say it again? A young man, almost a beardless boy, I was taken captive before I knew what I should desire and what I should shun. So consequently, today, I feel ashamed, and I am mightily afraid to expose my ignorance, because, not eloquent, with a small vocabulary, I am unable to explain, as the spirit is eager to do, and as the soul and the mind indicate. But had it been given to me as to others, in gratitude I should not have kept silent, and if I should appear that I put myself before others with my ignorance and my slower speech, in truth, it is written, "Tongue of the stammerers shall speak rapidly and distinctly." How much harder must we try to attain it, we of whom, as it is said, "You are an epistle of Christ in greeting to the ends of the earth, written on your hearts, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." And again, the Spirit witnessed that the rustic life was created by the Most High. I am, then, first of all, countrified, an exile, evidently unlearned, one who is not able to see into the future. But I know for certain that before I was humbled, I was like a stone lying in deep mire. And he that is mighty came, and in his mercy raised me up, and indeed lifted me high up, and placed me on top of the wall. And from there I ought to shout out in gratitude to the Lord for his great favours in this world and forever, that the mind of man cannot measure. Therefore be amazed, you great and small, who fear God, and you men of God, eloquent speakers, listen and contemplate. Who was it summoned me, a fool, from the midst of those who appear wise and learned in the law, and powerful in rhetoric and all its things? Me, truly wretched in this world, he inspired before others that I could be, if I would, such a one who with fear and reverence, and faithfully, without complaint, would come to the people to whom the love of Christ brought me and gave me in my lifetime, if I should be worthy to serve them truly and with humility. According, therefore, to the measure of one's faith in the Trinity, one should proceed without holding back from danger to make known the gift of God and everlasting consolation, to spread God's name everywhere with confidence and without fear, in order to leave behind after my death foundations for my brethren and sons, whom I baptized in the Lord in so many thousands. And I was not worthy, nor was I such that the Lord should grant his humble servant this, that after hardships and such great trials, after captivity, after many years, he should give me so much favour in these people, a thing which in the time of my youth I neither hoped for nor imagined. But after I reached Ireland, I used to pasture the flock each day, and I used to pray many times a day. More and more did the love of God and my fear of him and faith increase, and my spirit was moved, so that in a day I said from 1 up to 100 prayers, and in the night a like number. Besides, I used to stay out in the forests and on the mountain, and I would wake up before daylight to pray in the snow, in icy coldness, in rain, and I used to feel neither ill nor any slothfulness, because as I see now, the spirit was burning in me at that time. Well, thanks for listening. I hope it's been of benefit to you. The next part of St. Patrick's story will be out in around a week. If you have any feedback or ideas for future readings, comments can be left on my blog, deadwhiteguys.blogspot.com, or you can contact me via email, deadwhiteguys@gmail.com. Till next time.